And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Oh, it's a phenomenal, totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, where Paul is poised to deliver a powerful message. He articulates that God's wrath is evident from heaven against sinful, wicked individuals who suppress the truth. Scripture encourages us to buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23:23. It urges us to accept and to submit to the truth, promising freedom in return. And who embodies this truth? It's none other than Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Next, Paul jumps deeper into the concept of God's wrath, discussing individuals who deny the truth of God's existence despite an innate understanding. How is that possible? How can we assert that God is known to them instinctively? Because God has instilled knowledge of himself in their hearts. When they reject, they're disregarding the divine testimony ingrained within them. Ooh, man, that's deep. And finally, the apostle unequivocally states that ignorance of God is inexcusable. Those who choose disbelief are consciously ignoring the abundant evidence of God's existence. When they face God, and they will be without excuse, and their punishment will be just. They rejected the God of life and will receive the consequences of their rejection. That is why when the Lord challenges you and I, the wisest course of action is just to simply surrender.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey. Remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So whether you're in San Diego right now, whether you're in Denver, doesn't matter if you're in Dallas or if you're in Detroit, doesn't matter if you're in Canada, doesn't matter if you're in Argentina. Does matter if you're on the moon, because we just don't know how that works. But you can text us, 214-210-8483. Again, that's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, when you call that number, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday for you, to you, and with you as well. We will get to Jake's take in the next segment. Before we go any further, I do want to give you an update or two on my exciting time with the family. I will tell you that my favorite cheat meal was, in fact, with my wife and the rest of her family. While we had steak and while we had chicken, we also bought a ton of pizzas. All different kinds, all the way across the board, for everybody to sample and enjoy and have. That with chocolate cake and white cake, both. That was my
favorite. Wow, you went all out.
It was all out. We went all out. I mean, they came all the way to see us. I mean, that was nice. So we thought, we'll do something really special. So we thought, instead of macaroni and cheese, because that was our first guess.
Right.
We just went with pizza. When everybody took a vote, we did it. It was unanimous, which I thought was...
Who doesn't like pizza?
How do you not like pizza? So that was a wonderful time. And I do want to, again, thank everybody for praying for me and our family time. We did have a great deal of fun. There were really, you know how you have typically at Thanksgiving, you have some kind of major blowout? That really didn't happen. It was like there was nothing that was really that serious. It was everything was much more mellow. Everybody was like in a good mood. I think everybody is just like post-Christmas, you know, post-New Year's, post all that stuff, nothing really to deal with, and just kind of chilling. And so that was really kind of fun, you know, to have that. It's the most fun I've had with my family in years and years and years. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's always fun when a bunch of people in the family get together and, like you said, there's no blowout.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was great.
Everything's positive.
And then so my kids, Josh and Ashley, came over with the grandkids. And then September's son stopped in. It was kind of a surprise he stopped in and September. And then John and Connie and Bruce and Julie. And it was just a great time. So it was just really kind of cool. So, and I thank you for checking in and making sure that all is well, asking me about how.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Let's get to the really intense stuff, and let's keep it super easy. Bottom line is, maybe you've got a praise report that you want to share, something happened for you that the Lord did for you, and you know it's a praise report, but sometimes you're like, I'm nervous. I understand that. But if you're going to learn to be brave, this might be a good show to be brave with. Because we'll support you because we believe that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, Jesus said when you pray, say, Our Father. We are blood relatives through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are blood relatives. We're connected by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. And we drink of the same Holy Spirit, and that gives us this grand unity. And that's why Scripture says, keep the unity. Don't find it. Keep it. It's there. It's there in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the commissions and the missions that God has given us. So if you want to share a praise report, your brothers and sisters from all different denominations are willing to hear it. If you have a prayer request, we're willing to pray. We'll bring it before the Lord, petition Him, expect, but be in submission, but always with appreciation. Those are the things that we do. And it doesn't matter. Don't have to worry about how you sound or how it comes out. That's irrelevant. Let God take care of that part of it. Maybe you got something you're just kind of wondering or just want to make a comment. We don't do a lot of politics. I know you guys know that. I could do politics all day long if I wanted. And we support the shows that do. But on our show, I constantly need a good pat on the back and a shot in the arm of encouragement. And so that's what the show is designed around. We pretty much function around Hebrews 10:25, encouraging one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. We also do Bible trivia. Oh, that's right, we do. And jokes and other things, but here's your Bible trivia. How long did Joseph tell Pharaoh that Egypt would experience great famine? How long did Joseph tell Pharaoh that Egypt would experience great famine? Was it 3 years, 7 years, or 70 years? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Your reference, Genesis 41:30. How long did Joseph tell Pharaoh that Egypt would experience great famine? 3 years, 7 years, or 70 years? Again, Genesis 41:30. Reach out to us if you want to by text or by phone or by email. I'll give that to you again in a bit. But first, we're doing our DNA. DNA is the building blocks we exist by. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I just have to say this. Daily. So the scripture in Luke chapter 20, It says Jesus was teaching in the temple daily. So how often do you think he was teaching?
I'm going to say every day.
That's amazing that you hit that nail right on the head, because
it was a real brain buster.
Yes.
I had to really think on that one.
Daily means every day. Spending time every day that ends in Y, spend some time with a guy in the sky. Okay? There you go. So, just keeping it there, that's D, draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed. Remember, the world's going to try and completely outlaw the word of God. They're already trying to do that, trying to make things in Scripture hate speech. Hate speech, hate speech. Truth speech, you mean. Truth speech, thank you. Anyway, never be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in glory with my Father. Like, oop, bad, that's bad. So never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. So draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
That means to serve. It means OPM, other people matter. That means don't just focus on yourself. Spend some of your time caring, being concerned, loving, lifting up, blessing, watching over others the way that you want others to watch over you. And you will find that that will be returned to you, because what a man sows, that shall he also reap. And you will also find the multiple benefits in caring and caring for and caring about the people of God in your heart and mind. You will find that there are benefits that come from the Lord God Almighty. And it just can't beat that. That's just awesome stuff, right? Care about others. Don't get so focused on yourself. You're selfish. Be selfless. That is our DNA. Once more on the triv, and then we'll get into the other stuff. Trivia question is, how long did Joseph tell Pharaoh that Egypt would experience great famine? Is it 3 years, 7 years, or 70 years? Your answer reference point, Genesis 41:30, and you can call into the show at 972-445-0770. You can text in at 214-210-4843. Blah, 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 blah. And then you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. If you want to get the Michael Youssef book, you also need to call in. How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depended on It. We'll be glad to send it out to you at the end of the week, which is our way of saying we're going to collect them all throughout the week and then send them all out at one time, as opposed to sending them out every day, because that's a little bit goofy and we're not doing that. Okay, so we do have somebody that's calling in. They are ready for the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. It's a bright, sunny day.
It's a bright, sunny day. There's nothing like sunshine today.
Clear skies. What more could you ask
That is so funny. I will tell you that in spite of people denying or not believing it, I am actually in shorts today. I did wear a coat, though. I will confess I wore a coat, but that's as much I can do. It is a beautiful day out in the sense that there's less traffic, so that made it nice. Okay, my friend, let me set it up for you. You hit it out of the park. How long did Joseph tell Pharaoh that Egypt would experience great famine? Was it 3 years, 7 years, or 70 years?
I think it was 7 years.
That is correct, Manu! You are so right! And that 7 years was so bad that the prior 7 years of prosperity was completely forgotten. That's bad.
Well, I think he said it would eat it up.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's hilarious because it's a famine, right? Excellent job, my brother. Excellent.
Oh, well, you have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too, my friend. Stay warm. All right, another excellent call. We are strange people. You know, it's true. We're strange. People are like, you know, Christians are weird. Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. We're separated from the world unto the Lord. Great. I think that's a badge of honor. I think it's awesome. All right. So I got a lot in this teaching. I don't want to start it yet. We'll take our break, come back, and then we'll get into the teaching. We are getting into it, so don't get too worried about that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone. I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone. The question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question, is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're getting ready for our next trivia question. We're going to be jumping into Romans 1:18 and 19. Get ready for it. But this is a great question to open up with. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? Wow. 6, 9, or 12 hours. Actually, your answer is going to be over a couple of verses, but Mark 15:25-37. Okay, so it's kind of like 12 verses. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? 6, 9, or 12 hours. Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? This is a tougher question. I know it is. It's okay. It's okay to get tough questions and easy questions, all that. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? 6, 9, or 12 hours. Mark chapter 15, verse 25 through 37. That is where you will get your specific. You'll be able to really track it down in those verses. In the meantime, I've got to talk to you about something that's just so important. And all this is important. It's not all of it's key and crucial, and I'm hoping that some people really catch this as I share it. We are starting in verse 18 in Romans 1, and I want to just open up with Romans 1. We'll do 18 and probably 19. Very, very powerful. Here's what Paul writes. Remember, under the verbal plenary process with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit communicates through Paul what God wants written, but Paul does not lose his personality. It's not full dictation. It's portional dictation. But verse 18, God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. Now, this is a key component. You think, well, okay, got it. But no. You see, you and I have to understand how important truth is. When people say, oh, man, love is love, and everybody should just love, that's a lie. Let me explain to you. Biblical love is not love is love. You just accept everything, never say anything. That's an absolute lie. In Revelation 3:19 or 3:8-9, 3:19, it says, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Discipline is a communication of love. And so what they do is the world's like, no, you can't say anything about anything. That's a lie. And so biblical truth is substantially different than the concept of truth. And so I just want to point this out for people who, you know, use that kind of attitude. Shouting at somebody and pointing your finger in their face and saying, truth, truth, does not make it true. Biblical truth has to be backed up by biblical passages. If you want to have a disagreement on application of certain passages, awesome sauce. Let's do it. Let's enjoy it. Let's not get mad at each other. But the core of truth is in the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God is true. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. And why this is important is for we need to understand that truth comes about through the written word is our absolute plumb line, but the truth comes to us all the way around through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, and his truth is true. Everybody else's truth is tainted with sin. Everybody else's truth is tainted. Only Jesus and biblical truth are absolutely correct. So the reason I bring that up is because people try to say, well, that's their truth, and this is my truth, and that's that truth. None of that matters except for God's truth. Man is so perverted, he will take truth and ruin it. You think, no. Oh, yeah, watch this. 2 + 2 = 4. That is correct, that is a fact, and that is a truth. Unless you're with those people that go, well, 2 + 2 = 4, but only if one of the twos really feels like it. And you realize how dumb that is, right? You just sit there and go, that is so stupid. Yeah. A man is a man and a woman is a woman, and God doesn't fail in design. No. If I feel like being a woman today because I'm a man, I can just do that. It's so dumb. It's just like the 2 + 2 thing. It's just absurd. It's just so ridiculous. You just look at it and go, what is wrong with you? And here's the nutshell. Biblical truth, divine truth, Jesus, the truth. That is always right. Everybody else's assertion or application of truth that is not biblically based, not so right. After all, based on the truth of man, there's no resurrection. But as a Christian, you don't believe that. So I guess not all the truth of man has the importance that we seem to push on it. God's truth is the truth. You think, well, no, all truth is truth. No, it's not. Because the scripture even makes it clear that people, listen, pervert the truth. So it's like, then it becomes not truth. And what the condemnation is from God is they push away the truth that comes from God away from themselves. And when we get into this next portion, you're going to hear something you probably haven't heard very often in teaching, which I'm going to teach it, even though it's going to be a little controversial, but it's still fun. And I like doing stuff like that because it makes us think and draw closer to the Lord. But God's truth, biblical truth, Jesus the truth, that is true. Everything else is tainted. Get that? All right. Our trivia question, by the way, was I think it was a pretty good question. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? Now, all of us who are Christians wish it was the least amount possible, but the question asks, and the question has three possible answers, 6 hours, 9 hours, or 12 hours. And the answer, especially out of Mark 15, 25 through 37, is 6 hours. Jesus endured that cross for 6 hours to say one message. I love you. That's why he did it. You get it? Okay. We'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to do our next trivia question. Then we're going to send you to the website. Then we're going to come back and do Jake's take so we can get the woefulness out of the way. I'll get to that in a second. And then there's just so much more I got to teach. And I just can't believe an hour's gone. It's just like, it's just too fast. It's too fast. We got to slow time down. All right. This is a very interesting question. You need to listen to this, okay? How many times did Elijah stretch himself over the son of the widow of Sarepta? How many times did he stretch himself? 3 times, 7 times, or 10 times? This is not how many times the kid sneezed. This is how many times Elijah stretched himself over the kid. 1 Kings 17:21. 1 Kings 17:21. Joanne and Cordelia on fire. I'm fire. How many times did Elijah stretch himself over the son of the widow of Sarepta? Is it 3 times, 7 times, or 10 times? Aunt Deb coming in with a wildly accurate guess. Nice job. 3 times, 7 times, or 10 times. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website, so let me give you all of the spiel. Blah, 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 blah. Don't forget to donate. Is that a good way to say that? Don't forget to donate. Awesome. Awesome sauce. If you can't donate, don't worry. But if you can, do so. If the Lord allows you to and encourages you to. But if you're not in that position, don't worry about it. We don't. We're just trying to make sure that we ask because that's how the ministry functions. Best we can do. If you go on the website, there's tons of stuff on the website, including a couple of hidden and secretly cool things, as well as articles. And like I said, a place to give our scripture for today. For I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, which is the only way it should be done. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I'm feeling a little pinkish. Get that? Okay. Trivia question, and then we're doing Jake's take. How many times did Elijah stretch himself over the son of the widow of Sarepta? Was it 3 times, 7 times, 10 times? 3, 7, or 10? 1 Kings 17:21. Not sneezing, but how many times did he stretch himself over the child? 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It is time for Jake's Take. Well, how you doing there, Jake? How's Jake's Take going? How we doing?
Well, let's give a short moment of silence for the Dallas Cowboys as their season is done for.
I think anybody who watched that game, like myself, would have thought in the first, like, you know, so many minutes, what? What? Yeah. What happened?
Since I've been watching football, the Cowboys have not done well at all in the playoffs. Unlike, you know, they're really good in the 70s and really good in the 90s. But it's just been the complete opposite. So even though they were coming into the game, they were favored to win, and they were had the better record and everything, and it was in Arlington, so they were at home. I don't know. I had a feeling watching past Cowboys games that it was going to be trouble, And yeah, I knew from the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, yep, this Cowboys team's showing up.
That's the same team that the Cowboys lost to 9 out of 10 times prior, right?
Yes. Okay, so the last 10 times they played Green Bay, they've only won once.
Wow.
So we'll make that 1 in 10 now, the past 11, the only one once.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
And then I could root for Steve Arino, Aunt Deb's husband, because he's a big Philadelphia fan. But then again, Philadelphia didn't do very good either, did they? They got beat up by Tampa Bay.
Yep. That division did not look good this past weekend, the NFC East, with the Cowboys and Eagles.
Didn't look good.
But your Detroit Lions won their first playoff game for the first time since 1992.
That's right. The first playoff since 92. And I want to point this out to everybody in case you're wondering, and that is the Detroit Lions won. And I will say that watching NBC, we won't say much about their excellent coverage with the last 2 minutes of the game and then leaving the game so they can tell us, hey, it's cold outside. Just remember, it's cold. And then they come back and the game is over. And it was like, who comes up with that?
Yeah, it was a one-point game, and it looked like the Lions were going to win.
Yeah.
So, but I was thinking, I was sitting there watching, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to see the fans celebrate. It's been, you know, decades since they've seen their team win a playoff game. And then the game's about to be over, and then all of a sudden it cuts to the weatherman on Channel 5 talking about how cold it is. It's like, we know how cold it is. You can step outside.
I got nothing to say on any of that, folks. Just smile and go, Anyway, that's Jake's take. Excellent job, by the
way. Thank you.
Excellent. You've been waiting on that one. I know you've been crying over that one prior. I understand that. Okay. The trivia question, and then to the teaching. Again, the trivia question real quickly. How many times did Elijah stretch himself over the son of the widow of Sarepta? Was it 3 times, 7 times, or 10 times? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. So I just want to say that. Into the teach, because this teach, you're going to get a little dose of theology here that you don't typically get. And I'm going to say something you probably have not heard a lot about. So just buckle in, little campers. Buckle in. Now, before we get there, somebody is calling with a trivia answer, and we're going to give them that chance, because once I start this little roll, it's not going to change, okay? I'm just letting you know ahead of time. And I do want to give a shout-out. See, when you guys give praise reports and stuff, you know, I'll play them for people or make a clip for them. And so Veronica last week did a really, really wonderful job on sharing a testimony, played that for my family, and they were very, 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 very blessed to hear it. And some of them support the ministry, so that was really cool. So I just think that's cool. All right, somebody ready for the triv? Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. And one less day I worked today, but it was good family time, so it was worth it. So
yeah, I was glad to hear y'all had a really good time.
We did. It was really, really nice. It was really, really, really nice. All right, let me set it up for you. You hit it out of the park. How many times did Elijah stretch himself over the son of the widow of Sarepta? Was it 3, 7, or 10 times?
7.
Okay, but if it wasn't 7, but if it was minus 10, so if it was 10 minus 7, how many times would it be? That would be correct! You see, the trick in that one, and I know that's tricky, the trick was the kid sneezed 7 times.
That's right.
That's
okay.
What it was.
That's what
so
I was thinking
yep.
It was 7.
That's why I knew that was going to be kind of sneaky. So But Elijah stretched himself over 3 times. The kid sneezed 7 times. That was a real setup question, I'm just saying. So I still think you did phenomenal.
All right. Well, thank you. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent job. I love Deborah when she calls in. She is, by the way, absolutely the best guesser. There's no. She holds the record for like 98.9% or something ridiculous like that. Okay, let me get back to the text. Okay, people are like, you're going to teach now? Yes. Yeah, go away for one day. There's so much stuff to do. I don't know. I didn't invent this. All right, here we go. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. Verse 19 in a big key. For the truth about God is known to them intrinsically. for God has put his knowledge in their heart. When it says intrinsically, it means, just so you can be aware, that it is manifest in them. That's what the word in the Greek means. It means manifest in them. Very important concept. God's truth is actually in a unique way formulated in such a way as to be inside of people. Now, what has to happen is that truth has to be responded to, that truth has to be encouraged, that truth has to be acknowledged, that truth has to be yielded to. But in a weird way, and I'm saying this to be as honest as I can, there is some seed of truth already present in every single person, and then the person decides to yay or to nay it. So think about how intrinsically deep that is. And here's why I want to say this. This is what's really kind of important about this. And that is this. Paul is diving into this deeper concept about God's wrath, discussing individuals who deny the truth despite the existence of some innate understanding. So how can we assert that God is known to them instinctively? It's because God has instilled knowledge of himself in their hearts. When they reject God, they're disregarding the divine testimony that has been built into them. A prime example is the human desire. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. You'll get it as soon as you hear this. Listen, this is a deep, deep, deep concept. A prime example of how God does this is the human desire for immortality, coupled with the inability to achieve it independently. In other words, people want to live forever. It's built into them. But it's coupled with this inability to achieve that by themselves. That is a testimony or a testament from God. That is how deep it gets. And that's just like, you're like, what? Listen to what I'm saying. People want to live forever, but they know they can't live forever as they are. That's the testimony of God. Because then the answer comes in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And people who push that truth away will not embrace it and will not yield to it, will not surrender to it, and will not receive it. And people who embrace it and grasp it and love it and exist for it, kind of a nice way to say that, existing for it, they will experience it. So I want you to understand, that's a very, very deep concept. Human desire for immortality coupled with the inability to achieve it by yourself, but achievable through Jesus Christ. That's where the testimony of God shines. That's him. A desire to live forever, an inability. I need an answer. I'm your creator. I'm your answer. That's deep. I hope you catch that. That's deep. We'll take our break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our words will justify us or condemn us. And we understand our words will justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts. So therefore, in conclusion, that our words justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts, we need to remember and operate and function in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, which says this. And actually, you can even look at verse 19. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know that by your words you're justified and condemned, because you know they reveal your heart, you ought to make sure that you follow the scriptures that Paul commands us to follow, and you ought to be being thankful in everything. You ought to be being thankful in everything. And if you are thankful in everything, that will be a part of your verbalization or your speech, and that will be a revelation as to what's in your heart. Are you a thankful Christian for everything? And you say, well, Dave, I'm thankful that he saved me, but I'm going through this trial and I don't like it. I'm not so thankful for the trial. And I say, I understand that. Again, not a new revelation coming right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells you the ticket, the method, the system by which you can be thankful in everything. Dave, are you mean I should be thankful in a divorce proceeding? I should be thankful that my brother is a drug addict? I should be thankful that I'm going bankrupt? I should be thankful that these terrible things are happening? Or that I should be thankful that I can't sleep? No, I think you should read Romans 8, 28 with me and respond to this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So I think the answer is, can you be thankful in all those things? Yes. For going through a divorce? No. But that God is going to work into your lives good things through this process? Absolutely. If you don't believe that God is going to work things that are good into your lives in your trial, you don't believe anything he says. Because one of the greatest premises that Jesus laid down is, and I caught this just earlier this week, let not your hearts be troubled. There will be trouble in the world. I've overcome the world. It's like, but Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, as though we had a choice. We do. We do. And we should be thankful in all of it while we're going through for the actual drug addiction. No, but that God's not going to give up on the person. He's going to work good out of it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We got our last trivia question. We'll probably do a little bit of history, and then we'll close it out with a very back-up teaching to what I just taught. I don't know how to say. I'm just not that smart. But that's what we're going to do anyway. Here's your last trivia question. How many husbands did Jesus say the woman of Samaria had? Five husbands, seven husbands, or three husbands? When he said, you have X amount of husbands, how many did he say? And this is in John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. How many husbands did Jesus say the woman of Samaria had? Five husbands, seven husbands, or three husbands? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It is very cold outside. This is your little brother.
It's very cold outside. I'm in shorts.
Okay. Well, you are from Michigan.
That is true.
You're a frozen chosen person.
As long as I'm not amongst the frozen chosen, I'm okay. Oh, that's great. All right, my brother. Let's set it up and then run it in. Here we go. I'll set it up. You hit it out. How many husbands did Jesus say the woman of Samaria had? Five husbands, seven husbands, or three husbands?
Cinco.
That is correct, Amundo!
Five. In English, it's five.
That is right. She had five husbands. How are you, by the way?
Good.
Good. Good. I'm glad. You're still praying for people, right? Remind them what
yes.
You're doing.
That's my personal commitment. So, right. Yes.
What is it you're praying for those people?
Well, especially for the diabetic and those who have either diabetic vision issue or any vision issue.
Okay, so vision, diabetic, anything along those lines that people would be praying. Like I said, we had somebody reach out and say, that is me, I need help. So make sure to be praying hard for that. And everybody make sure to pray for Samson to support him in his praying for people. Because you know what? Two or more agree upon anything, touching anything, it shall be done. And that's a good way to get that system rolling, right?
That's correct.
All right. Excellent job, my brother. You got to stay warm, though. Please don't, you know, don't go walking around. Don't go walking around. Okay? Don't go walking around.
Actually, yesterday, my youngest daughter said, let's go for a walk. Oh, my gosh. After three blocks, oh, run back. It was so windy. I think it was because of the wind, it was more cold than the actual temperature.
That makes sense to me. Bert went outside, looked around, and said, nah, I don't think so. came right back in like, that's enough. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Excellent job, my brother. Yeah. Love you.
Please pray for my oldest daughter. She's still under
sick,
the weather.
Huh?
She's getting better. My wife is, praise God, she's better. But my youngest daughter is getting there, so just keep praying for her that God will.
I want everybody who's listening. Everybody listening, take this on in prayer. Take a moment. Take a moment and pray. Lord, we just ask you to heal Samson's daughter. Jen's doing better, but he needs help in the family. And the family can't keep passing it on to one another. Please bring your healing power into her life. Don't let her be discouraged. Don't let Samson be discouraged. Because her healing and her redemption is near. Bring that for them by your grace. By your mercy and compassion, we lift it before you and ask you for help in it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. No. And we also need to pray for the redemption of the cowboy curse.
That's beyond my scope. I'm not touching that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of cowboys, so.
Okay. All right, my friend.
But they are seems like under the curse of the playoffs.
Thank you, brother.
I love you, brother.
All right, take care. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. All right, let me finish up on this teaching. We'll skip the history because I just don't have time for it. I mean, it's just nothing I can do about it. Let me get into this rest of this part of the teaching because you need to understand what we just talked about that that element that's instinctively inside, picking up just what we said. I'll just run through the whole thing. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. That Greek word means manifests in them. God has put his knowledge in their hearts. Verse 20. For from the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. This passage is building on the previous passage, which is talking about God has put a seed in there that says, I'm your creator, I'm real. And then God gives testimony to that through the things that he's shown mankind. In other words, and it's simple to say, Paul elevates this discourse by observing the earth, the sky, and creation, the oceans, the Grand Canyon, towering mountains, vast forests, exquisite animals, unpredictable weather, and countless other marvels. It becomes evident that a superior entity is at work. And it's crucial to recognize that these testimonies have been present since the dawn of time. So people are not going to get away with anything. It's not going to work to be in denial. Those who choose disbelief are consciously ignoring the abundant evidence of God's existence. This is a terrible idea. That's why as Christians, not just in the decision for salvation, but when the Lord is challenging you, when he challenges us in anything, the wisest counsel in the universe is to say, I surrender. Because if you don't say I surrender, it's not going to go well. That's all I'm saying. And so the idea behind this is God has given testimony after testimony. And this is what the scripture says. It says in the daytime. It says in the nighttime, look up and listen to the voice of God, the testimony of God, just in the stars. I mean, when Noel and I lived in Carlsbad, we had this. It was really cool, but it was an apartment, and they had to take down this one tree, and then they took down the tree, and then you could see, like, 3.5 miles of ocean. It was really funny. And we didn't, you know, it's like nothing we can do about it, but it looks so, and you would, I'd go out there and sit on that patio and go, there's no way you're not there. It's just too overwhelming. And that's the truth. And when you look in the sky, that's the truth. And that's, we're not even into the biblical truth realm. I mean, that's a whole separate, bibliology is one of my favorite subjects ever. But you have to understand, God has testified. He's testified on the inside of man to his existence and testified on the outside to man of everywhere man looks. And by man, I mean mankind. So just think of the simplicity of that. Like God said, I'm here, I'm real, I'm your creator. And some people go, no. And you think, well, why would anybody in the world ever say no? I'll tell you exactly why. They know it's true, but they don't want it to be true because they don't want to be accountable for their actions. They don't want to think that one day they're going to stand before the judge and have to give an account. But the irony is everybody is going to stand before the judge. Christians are not going to be judged for their salvation, but there's still a reward system that's in play. Everybody is going to be judged by the Lord. The non-Christian is trying to deal with their eternity. The Christian is just trying to figure out what they're taking in or what the Lord's giving them through that process. But people don't want to be accountable. So they reject God. They reject the testimony of Jesus. But you can't reject the testimony of Jesus forever. Just for a short time. And then that's it. Get it? Okay. Wow, that's some deep teaching. You can't get away from that. That's just the way it rolls. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.